This is Scenic Roots. We are back in the magnificent studio on the second floor of the library in downtown Chattanooga. The library is slowly reopening. They are now open for a few services. The studio will reopen to everyone next month, and the library at the moment plans to reopen to everyone for all their services in May. This afternoon, we have a session from Monica Wright, who makes music as Margot and the Toothless Hags. Some have described her style as Joni Mitchell with a bit of punk seasoning, while others hear influences of the War on Drugs, Margaret Gillespie, and Julianne Baker. Not bad. And there's some truth in that. From the Chattanooga Downtown Library, this is Margot and the Toothless Hags.
Jamie's on the mountain, finding himself with his weed and his books and his mental health. He's come so far for a crumb of truth while the banquet's laden under his own roof. To bloom, and we sit in the grass. I like it when it's just us two. Jamie is my friend, could have been my lover, but he never asked, and I never bothered. Tending leaves to crowns. If we're all dirt that's constantly descending to the ground, and all we know is our hometown, the love we stole, the lies we found. Find me in your arms tonight.
Thanks so much for listening. That was Tend My Garden. This is called Your Room.
We laid in your bed. As the party progressed, right next door, we talked about death. We talked about death as if we possessed any knowledge at all. At all. At all. At all. At all. We put it to rest. We put it to his eyes burn my skin. Some people have left. Some people have left. And his head is compressed from the alcohol.
That was called Your Room from my record called Sides. And it's one of my favorites on the record. It's probably one of the most calm in comparison to the full band of a lot of the other ones. And I think playing it stripped down is probably my favorite way to perform it. So this next song is called Hearts of Bustin'. And I had the opportunity to play this song live on Writers in the Round almost, I guess, a year ago. And I'm really grateful to have recorded it now and to have it coming out at the very end of April. It will be on all streaming platforms under my band's name, Margo and the Toothless Hags. So this is Hearts of Bustin'. And it's about a relationship that's close to you, like maybe in your family or a close friend that you have a hard time relating to and are just kind of aggravated at that fact that you can't seem to connect for some odd reason. So it's about that. are getting married to the clouds, and I wonder if you're ever coming down. I wish I could look into your eyes, and I wonder if you are as confused as I. But your heart's a bustin', I can see, and I'll wait for what your seasons bring, to watch your colors, to watch your colors, to watch your colors, to watch your colors blossom red. Ooh, ooh. Of letting you in, childhood toys tattooed to my skin. But after all this goddamn love I've given, am I still the thorn in the heel you're feeling? But your heart's a bustin', I can see, and I'll wait for what your seasons bring, to watch your colors, to watch your colors, to watch your colors, to watch your colors blossom red. Ooh, 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 ooh. But your heart's a bustin', I can see it. For what your seasons bring, to watch your colors, to watch your colors, to watch your colors, to watch your colors blossom red. Ooh, ooh. That was Hearts a Bustin'. So this next song is a quarantine song. I wrote it pretty early in quarantine when I was living completely by myself in an apartment and not being able to go anywhere. And I wrote it about going and seeing my friends who live like 5 blocks away from me, and just going and yelling at their windows and just having a conversation while sitting on top of my car. I released this on Bandcamp, and last summer I did short-term releases where I'd basically release a song for a week, and anyone who followed or got there in time before I took it down got to hear it, and this was one of those songs. So this is called End of Time. Take my bike and go down the street, go to yell at my friend's window pane, catching up on them and me, and I wonder will it be the same again. But this is not the end, this is not the end of time. I am meeting the status quo. You're taking extra courses, and I'm under my own microscope, go and run or else I'll watch it worsen. But this is not the end, this is not the end. end of time.
Are you, as have been so many creatives that I'm aware of, you know, COVID was like an opportunity to do a deep dive into what you do because there weren't any other distractions, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It was, it had to become an opportunity in one's mind first. It didn't feel like
well,
one.
Well, at first it felt like everything's been taken away, right?
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah, I had like two tours that were almost finished planning. And, you know, that's the plight of, I mean, I could name off the top of my head the number of people, like handfuls of people that would say that same story.
Oh, easily. Yeah. I know plenty of people too. Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I was grateful to have a job that I have that I really like and be able to keep that going and invest in that while also writing and doing a lot more home recordings. I learned a lot about production. And the song that's coming out at the end of April, April 30th, I got to record that with my brother, which was really awesome, in his home studio. Yeah, just like new experiences with new writers. There was a song that I played earlier that I worked on with Cannon Hunt a little bit. He helped me edit it, who I know has played here before. So I'm grateful for the sort of collaborative mindset that COVID, I think, has brought to a lot of people. I spent a lot of time like FaceTiming other songwriters. I would like send them music and they would send me new songs and we would FaceTime and talk about it and listen to it again. And
that's interesting, isn't it? That's somewhat counterintuitive that at a point when we were more isolated from one another, it didn't happen that way, did it? It made people, it seems, generally speaking, that it's made people more communicative. I guess when you take something away, people realize the value of it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think also like the saturation of who you really want to get to know, it condenses. I feel like the people who you really want to be around, the people who you really like want to invest in, it condenses into like a fewer number. But I don't know, for me personally, I've been able to be a lot closer to a fewer number of people and really ride this out together, which has been
lovely.
Well,
it doesn't really lend itself to casual communication,
right?
Does it?
No,
I mean, what's the point, right?
Yeah, no, there's, and also, I think there was a time when at the beginning of it, I was like, oh, this is a great chance for me to catch up on all of the like band organization. I can network a lot more because I can connect with other musicians. But inherently, like, that can be really draining when you don't know when a product will be able to be formed. If you're communicating with someone about potentially setting up a show or wanting to record together or hoping to visit each other and play music together, none of that's really going to happen. So
right,
you can't
so you're
really
putting all
move
this energy
towards
out with
anything.
No goal.
You can't move towards anything.
Right. No end result.
Yeah.
It's all coming.
So it's very draining when you try and network during this time, which I think I tried for like 3 weeks. And then I was like, I'm going to just get close to the people I already know, which worked great.
So you can't network, but so you pull in as far as, you know, where you are directing your energies. But at some point, having directed your energies in a more concentrated way, you then want to share them, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think songwriting-wise, I've ended up writing at the beginning of COVID, like the first like four months, I wrote very like calm, very like quiet songs. Because I think I was just dealing with all the emotions, you know?
I have to say, you know, the particularly the first songs that you played, first like two or three, were very meditative.
Yeah, yeah. I wrote those all during COVID, and they're just very sort of calmer songs. And then in the second half, I think I started like banging on the ceiling a little bit more. So I wrote a little bit more like rock, punk, genre fulfilling sort of songs that I'll hopefully get to fully play with a band and perform. But and of course, that's safe. But yeah, so it was kind of funny to see that contrast within myself of like moving from very calm, folksier, simplistic songs to much more chaotic, fun, maybe angsty, like angry, getting out the emotions that are just stuck in my apartment sort of songs. So I enjoyed that contrast. It was funny.
Fool me right, small talk the night. You were the straw that broke the camel's back. Buy us a beer, tell me your childhood fears. No more should I count on them to call. No more will I count on them to call. So take your time, I'll be walking blind. Can you tell me, have we met? Down the go to your place, light up your fire escape. I'm counting all the things that they never say. Check the locks, compliment the way that I talk. But it's not just you, it's you and all before. That showed me all the cuts that I must endure. I'm an open wound that's longing to adore you. So take your time, and I'll be walking blind. Stranger down the line.
That was down the line, thanks to Ben Van Winkle on the cello. We figured that out last night. Well,
this morning?
Well, yeah. We figured out that he was going to do it last night. And we figured that out 2 hours ago. So, kudos. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate you. Yeah. That was fun.
From the Chattanooga Downtown Library, Margot and the Toothless Hags.
This next song is called Turning Tides. And it's about... it's about seeing someone in public that makes you really nervous, or being afraid to see someone in public that you don't really want to see. So...
Expectations never spoken. Go on and blame me first. I am tired of this tension. Don't know how you got hurt. Oh, but if I see you again, I think it all flood back. I think it run like the turning tides. And then I'd recall I didn't text you back. Cause there's nothing that I did that I regret. No, no, there's nothing that I did that I retract. No, there's nothing that I did. Shaking and I'm drinking, standing at the corner of the bar. Thought I saw you standing waiting. My mind has run too far. Oh, but if I see you again, I think it all flood back. And I think it'd run like the turning tides. And then I'd recall why I didn't text you back. Cause there's nothing that I did that I regret. No, no, there's nothing that I did that I retract. No, there's nothing that I did. It is obvious you had something else going wrong. Like a dog licking his wounds, you make your own blood run. Instead of thinking on my flaws, don't you have something else to do? Boy, you overestimate how many fucks I gave for you. But if I see you again, I think it all flood back. I think it run like the turning tides. And then I'd recall why I didn't text you back. Cause there's nothing that I did that I regret. No, no, there's nothing that I did that I retract. No, there's nothing that I did that I regret. No, no, there's nothing that I did.
That's called Turning Tides. Thanks for listening. That's not out anywhere, so this is the only place you'll hear it, I guess. So I'm going to play another one called Get That Girl. This is another quarantine song, and I wrote it about getting in my head too much. Having dreams, doing all the things I wish I'd done, like loving him and being with my family by the lake in the sun, thinking of my exes too much, eating all the pie for lunch. Never paid my taxes. I'm just watching as the expiration passes. Someone get that girl. Waiting for the skies to clear and the green light. And I'm waiting for the news to hear that it's alright. Someone get that girl. I'm served such a gracious hand. While others felt its force, but my mind, it is a train that's still been running off its course. Thinking of my exes too much, eating all the pie for lunch. Never paid my taxes. I'm just watching as the expiration passes. Someone get that girl. Waiting for the skies to clear and the green light. I'm waiting for the news to hear that it's all right. Someone get that girl. Oh, she's waiting for the skies to clear, for the green light, and waiting for the news to hear that it's all right. Someone get that girl. It's such a shame that you live by my best friend's house. Every once in a while, see you on your couch. And I wonder what you're thinking about. Yeah, I wonder what you're thinking about. Wasted my days being chums with my self-restraint. Should've stopped playing games, left it all to fate. But my star sign didn't tell me a thing. No, my star sign didn't say anything. But you were a good thing that ran as far as its course. And it's hard when there's no one to point at and curse out first. I'm never one to play hard to get, but I'm done playing hard to lose. I'm never one to play hard to get, playing hard to lose. Gave you my nights, you don't know how you stress me out. To the point that I lied, I have asthma. Now I don't cringe when I see you around. I think back when I hoped that I'd see you around. But you were a good thing that ran as far as its course. And it's hard when there's no one to point at and curse out first. I'm never one to play hard to get, but I'm done playing hard to lose. I'm never one to play hard to get, but I'm done playing hard to lose. Playing hard to lose. Sweet.
Have you worked with a band before?
Yeah, I have. I used to work with a band a little bit in college, but also my brother, who lives in Providence, Rhode Island, he and I collaborate a lot. He's a drummer and a bassist. And so originally we were planning to go on tour as a three-piece, him playing bass, and I have a drummer there too. And we would just tour in New England area, but that didn't come to fruition. So officially...
It might this year if you want to pursue it though, right?
I mean, hopefully...
Sometimes,
that's kind of the goal.
This morning, the president was saying that we should have everybody who wants to be inoculated by July 4th.
I mean, I would love that. I would love that, but I think my hopes have been dashed.
No, I understand.
Too many times for me to be like very forward.
Well, you know, I talked to, I can't tell you how many people I talked to last summer who were playing Nightfall. Yeah. And of course, it was virtual, you know, a virtual Nightfall performance. And what I got from a lot of people was, well, we can still gig, but we have to, it's outside. They set up the stage outside, right, and we're playing outside, you know. So you guys, seems to me, you could set up a tour where you played a bunch of outdoor gigs in July, August, September. Even in New England, the weather would still be good in September, right?
Oh, yeah. It'd be a little chilly, but that's it. Yeah. I honestly could. I think I'm having a hard time being so optimistic.
Mm. Why would you? There's no reason to be.
In some ways, I'm wanting to channel my energy towards recording more. So this summer, I'm planning to record 2 singles as well as releasing this single. Maybe one in the middle there. We'll see. But I think I'm trying to move more towards that sort of stuff until it's really like confirmed that I definitely could set things up and they could come to fruition. And I think it's...
You know, as you said, you had 2 tours planned and they were dashed.
Yeah.
So it's hardly surprising that you are skeptical about optimism at the moment. But it's like everything else. It needed to be organized. And frankly, it wasn't, right? Our response to COVID last year was completely disorganized with the inevitable result.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, you're using your time effectively by you're writing, recording, preparing.
Yeah. And I'm really grateful for the time. Honestly, I've gotten a lot better at practicing and performing guitar, which was something that I was honestly felt really weak on because I didn't really ever study it. I just started playing it in early part of college after I had taught myself piano for a little bit, started playing guitar.
And the motivation was to write? Did you want to write songs?
Yeah, I originally really just started writing on it. I figured out the tonalities and everything like that because I grew up classically violin trained. So tonality was like huge of like mixing of different sounds. And it wasn't necessarily so much about what chords, what structures, what mode of scale am I following, but it's much more on, does this sound open? Does this sound crunchy? Is this whatever color my sort of kinesthetic brain was bringing to it? So that brought me to the guitar. I didn't really know how to actually do chords. I just kind of was like, ooh, this sounds nice. And then started writing on that, and that expanded and expanded until here we are. But
it makes perfect sense. Yeah. I read a quote from Charlie Parker.
Mm-hmm.
He said, first, learn to play the instrument. Then learn to play music. Then let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all about feel. In the end, that's all that really matters.
Yeah. I was figuring out chords earlier with Ben because he wanted a chord chart and I wrote it out and I realized that I had written all of the chords as the third note of the chord being the bass, but that's what my brain connected to. I was like, oh, okay, that must be the actual chords, but inherently it was, you know, whatever a third down from the notes that I gave him were. It was all incorrect. And it was just because, like, I never had thought about it when I was writing music, which there is a really,
really...
Well,
you didn't really write the music, did you? You went by feel.
Then
it's a bit like taking a spoken language and trying to figure out an alphabet, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so that can be a problem.
I can see how it could be, yeah.
That can be a real problem. When oftentimes, like, when I have time to think it through, I'll bring it to a piano and play it all out or whatever. But
So that allows you to figure out what the chords are that way?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm able to like transfer them and play them out and figure out the sevenths because I'm a big like theory kid when it's on the sheet music. So oftentimes like I'll write out note for note each chord that I'm playing on a guitar and it's usually like all very mixed and crunchy and like right next to each other and like weird harmonics, but then I'll spread it out and try and figure out what the roots are and if that's a ninth or an 11th or diminished.
So does that help you? That doesn't help you to play it though, right? That's just a way to communicate it to somebody else.
Play it with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if somebody says, well, what are you playing? I guess for a lot of people, though, surely they can just go by ear, right? They can just listen to you.
It really
watch
depends
your
on the person.
Yeah.
Because also I'll use changed tunings. So I'll tune down. I have this one song where the tuning is just very, very whack. And literally I had multiple musicians who play guitar primarily listen to this and have the hardest time trying to figure out what I was playing because the roots of everything were just so messed up, but it felt way nicer in my hands and it sounded better in my ears. So I was like, this is how it's just going to go from now on.
We ran a concert a couple of weeks ago by a Hawaiian slack key guitar player. Actually, he lives in Berkeley, but all of his family is Hawaiian. And he said, well, you know, the derivation of slack key guitar was that the, I think it was the Spanish, they took cattle to Hawaii to teach them how to cattle farm. And then in the evening, they played guitar.
Huh.
And then when they left, they said, the Hawaiians realized they liked the sound of the guitar, but they never asked them how you play it. So in order to in trying to figure out how to play it, they tuned it down.
Oh,
that's
funny.
Why it sounds like that.
Wild.
So, yeah. So they tuned it in order to be able to play it.
That's so interesting. Yeah, that's...
And that sounds like that's what you're doing. That you're following, which I think, you know... I don't know, a teacher might say, oh, that's not right. But it is. It's exactly the same way that you're teaching those children.
Yeah.
It's hands-on.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong. It's the only thing that's wrong is if you do something and don't learn from it.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. And for me, when I was starting, which was a bit ago now, but when I was starting, I was getting so aggravated because anything, whenever I'd change the bass line of the guitar, it still would sound really bad unless I did something on the higher strings. So I just changed the higher strings to make it sound very open and resonant and free so that I was able to follow along with anything that I wanted on the lower bass lines. And so that's how I really, really started. And that kind of just, you know, rolled its way towards more complicated chords and more complicated tunings. And it was really out of just laziness that it all came to fruition. But it's definitely worth it because it has some sort of sound for me that is just really pleasing to my ears.
Yeah, so. I was about to say, you can't argue with the result.
Yeah, yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, if I like it and if it makes me keep playing and keep writing and makes me continue being creative,
that's
a success.
It also sounded to me as if the lyrics you're writing, that you operate the same way.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily linear or literal.
No.
That you're going more for the sound and the feel.
Yeah, a lot of it has to do with like mouth feel.
Right.
Yeah, and also like a lot of times I'll play off of, I think I might have talked about this last time I was talking with you actually, is using random items that just viscerally have a similar experience to whatever you're hearing in the music. So even if it doesn't have to do with any part of the story, like... In Doppelganger, not Doppelganger, in Hearts of Boston, I talk about like getting a tattoo of a kid's toy on my shoulder. And that doesn't really have anything to do with the story of like myself and my brother, which is what the song's really about. It just... is something that like reminded me of my childhood, and it was something semi-connected, but in the words that it formed made it move really smoothly. And it showed sort of like this angstiness from like, you know, that tattoos can often like sort of bring this like edgy sort of thought into people's minds, but also contrasting that with like children's toys of like tenderness and true connectedness. It's a really interesting...
Yeah, I gotcha.
How you can use one simple object to connect the different general ideas of a song, even when if you take it out of context, it's like, what?
Right, and create, you're working with contrasting emotional responses
yeah.
to those two images.
Yeah.
That you wouldn't normally be together.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fun.
Yeah, it is fun. It's also kind of like painting because mm-hmm. you're just making something that just fits the scene and maybe the painting has like a lot of weird colors in all four corners, but there's something that's going to make them meld in the middle. And you just have to find those melding colors.
So you write like that. What kind of reaction do you get from people that listen to your music?
I think sometimes my dad will just be like, I just don't know what you're saying. And it's like, it's okay. That's fine. That's a valid response. I'm more interested on what you feel mm-hmm. coming out of it. I don't really care what you think. I want to know how you feel because the feeling is really what I'm moving towards. But also I'll get responses from people who they just don't usually hear those words coming out of a songwriter. So they're interested. So they end up listening more. There are certain settings where people do listen more because I say some weird things and it's not just like normal love songs. He said, she said, but yeah, I think it really depends on the audience or like where I'm playing it or who I'm playing it for. But it'll be very wide range of a reaction from a single song. And a lot of times what I love the best when I'm performing live is that people just come up and talk to me about it.
Yeah.
Or that people will remember a certain line from it. There's this line from Turning Tides, I think. And it says, like a dog licking your wounds, you make your own blood run. And that's been like a lyric that a lot of people have connected with, of sort of like narcissistic, like feeding off of your own hurts. And I think it's interesting that people connect with that and see it automatically, like within their own lives, like the people in their own lives or themselves, you know, and they can apply that as like something they can use to either, hopefully it'll be to encourage them to not be, to either help that person to not be that way or to maybe separate themselves from that person or to identify those people who are in that situation. So.
Who are a little bit too feeling sorry for themselves. Kind of.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
Because that's an energy suck.
It's an energy. Yeah, for sure.
Margot and the Toothless Hags recorded in the studio in the Chattanooga Downtown Library, a state-of-the-art recording studio. It's on the second floor of the Chattanooga Public Library and is available to anyone with a library card. Every Wednesday afternoon, we record, not exclusively, but often Chattanooga-based musicians and bands. The sessions are engineered and mixed by Sam Mensah. The executive producers for the series Live in the Library are me, Richard Winham for WUTC, Sam for the Library. We'll have another session recorded in the Library here on Scenic Roots next Friday afternoon, starting at 3:00. To close today, this is Margot and the Toothless Hags. Her most recent EP is called Sides. Her new single, Hearts Are Bustin', is coming out late spring. From the EP she released last year called Sides, this is Hercules.